Praise the Lord. Since our Sunday service, the Spirit of the Lord has been, will I use the word, more stern on us. This kind of sternness from the Holy Spirit is obvious because He has given us more grace. Amen. With more grace comes more responsibility, right? With more grace comes more responsibility. And if there's anything the Holy Ghost has been saying since that time till now, is order. Order. Structure. Order. And that's why if you look at the poster closely, you see something like mandate service part 2. Then you see something like family meeting, new structures, new visions. Please permit me, if I am sounding somewhat stern, it's not intentional. It's just me trying to keep in step with what the Holy Spirit is saying and doing right now. Amen. You know, there are things that a 2-year-old child or a 1-year-old child will do and you have to just remove your eyes. But when a child is 5 years old and is about to clock 6 years, you cannot remove your eyes any longer, right? You know that if you remove your eyes now, you're going to spoil that child or you're going to make things difficult for that child. And so, this is why we are calling meetings like this. And we are going to be having more meetings like this. Praise the Lord. To ensure that our house is in order. Let me tell you something. Order is more important than talent. Order is more important than skill. Order is more important than anointing. Are you with me? Order is more important than well, what else will you, than finesse or charisma. Order is more important. Are you with me? And let me tell you something. One of the signs of the devil is that he wants to destroy structure. The devil hates God's structure. Once God's structure is in place, the devil finds it difficult. Or once God's system or structure is in place, the devil will find it difficult to have an inroad. And so, when the devil wanted to break into the first man, he says, "Has God said you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" Has God said? He was questioning the structure that God has put in place. Then the devil twitched the word of the Lord. He said, "God knows that if you read it, eat it, you will be as gods." And people have tried to preach on that. But you see, there's a difference between being God and being as gods. When a person, you can't eat a fruit and become God. That's impossible. So you will be. So when he says you will be as gods, knowing good and evil, he was intimating that you will be such a person that nobody can tell you what to do. Just the same way nobody tells God what to do, you will be as gods. Are you with me? God does not answer to any man. If God has to restrain himself, if God will ever have a restraint, he will have to give himself that restraint. He can do anything he wants to do, and he's God. So he was saying that he was giving man the temptation or he was luring man into the place where you will have no restraint. Cast away all virtuous restraints. No structure. No order. You can do what you want. God's system does not operate like that. There must be a structure. Are you with me? From time to time, you must go back and say, how much are we in step with what the Lord said? Have you ever tried to draw a straight line before with your leg? On sand. And you say, okay, I want to draw a straight line from here to here with your leg. Have you tried it before? And when you were doing it, you thought you were straight. Only for you to get to the other end and you have drawn a rectangle or a triangle. Very acute, obtuse angle that you have done there. Has that happened to you before? Have you experienced that before? That's the nature of man. If you don't put a ruler there, if you don't put an instrument, you will not get structure. Man will deviate. And so, it's very possible as a ministry begins to grow and expand with time, they can lose focus of what the Lord was trying to do in the first place. Are you with me? You can forget. You can get carried away. So we must have demanded service where we go back. Why are we here? What made us start? What must we do to keep in step with what God said? As we are increasing, as we are growing, as we are making progress, what and what must be put in place to ensure that the very thing that was on God's mind is still there? And we are still hitting the nail on the head. Praise the Lord. And that's why we have mandate service. What is a mandate? A mandate is an official commissioning to do something. An official commissioning. A mandate is an official instruction or commissioning to get a job done. A mandate is an official commissioning or instruction to get a job done. To get a job done. And so, before we go on, I want to share some things with you. Some musings from the Holy Spirit that intimated this service. Judges chapter 17 from verse 6. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel. And every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Let me tell you, everybody loves order, but very people are ready to pay the price for order. You know, imagine you came here for this service, and when you came into this service, I just sat down on the altar, brought up my phone, and began to scroll on my phone. And you asked me, Pastor, what's up? And I say, everybody have fun. Let's just chill. You know, we have had a great anniversary. Wow. This last 5 days was fire. Man, it was so powerful. Let's just chill. You may laugh and play with me, but you go home and say, what went wrong? Like, what happened? Are you with me? Some people may like it, but deep within them, they know that we are beginning to miss it. We will never be orderless in the name of Jesus. Your Bible also says in Proverbs 29 verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29 verse 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Amen. There is no place, there are no laws. There is no place, there are no rules. There is no place. Even that everybody meets by 6 p.m. for midweek service is a rule. Are you with me? Because if you come here by 2 a.m., you will not meet service here. Are you following this? A borderless system does not work in God's structure, in God's ecosystem. And finally, Philippians chapter 3, as we delve into this, from verse 13. Philippians 3 verse 13, the Bible says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, everybody read with me from this point, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Let's start again from brethren. 1, 2, 3, go. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, this was the Lord, the scripture the Lord pressed on my spirit yesterday while praying. He says, I believe God was saying to me something like this. Pastor David, thank God for all I've done and all I've seen in the last 5 years. But now, do not count yourself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. This is a message for some of you. Oh, Pastor, this happened in my past. Pastor, my family. Pastor, my father was not there for me. Pastor, my brother abandoned me. Pastor, my sister betrayed me. Pastor, forgetting those things which are behind. It doesn't matter what may have happened, but God is saying to you, forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. Are you with me? If you hold on to the past more than the expected time, you will pass away with the past. Let me tell you, see here, there is something called the law of relevance. Relevance is connected to time.
If you buy a shoe for your daughter when she's 2 years old, and she celebrates that shoe, and she's wearing that shoe is relevant to her as long as her leg can enter. By the time she's 6 years old, that shoe is nothing but useless. Are you with me? Are you with me? If she does not know when to stop celebrating the shoe, she may be without a shoe. No, have you ever had clothes that when you got that cloth, this was the best cloth in your life? You loved this cloth with all your heart, your soul, your spirit, your ear, your nose, your mouth, everything. It's like you want to wear this cloth every day. But after 5 years, you have to give it out. Because it's no longer relevant. You have outgrown it. You must know when you have outgrown a certain phase. If you over celebrate that phase, you will die there. And so I could feel God telling me, forgetting those things which are behind. Lord, we thank you for the last 5 years, but it's time to reach forth. Are you with me? It's time to reach forth unto those things which are before. Because let me tell you, the best of God is never in the past. The best of God is never in the past. The best of God is never in the past. Do you know what that means? No matter how many great things we have seen before, greater things are coming. This is just the beginning. Can you tell somebody, for us in New Breed, as a church, as members, as individuals, as families, this is just the beginning. Wherever we are right now is the smallest we will ever be. Wherever we are right now is the least we will ever be. Glory! You know, the Bible says the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more until the perfect day. It must shine more and more. You must fight to ensure that it shines more and more. Don't stay stuck in the past. Don't stay there. Praise God. The path of the just is like a shining light. So, let's go back to Philippians 3. He says, forgetting this thing, look at Paul. He says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, forgetting. Then he says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize. See after me, I press. Do you know what I've come to realize? It is the glory of the future that makes the past beautiful. Ah, Jesus. It is the glory of the future that makes the past worth looking at. For instance, in 23 days' time, God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo, will be turning 70. He has affected my life. He has affected our ministry. I celebrate him with all my heart. He has affected, there is almost no body in this country, no genuine Christian in this country that has not been affected by the life and ministry of that man. Whatever your reservations about him is, I don't care. I celebrate him. Praise the Lord. People are bringing out his throwbacks. Interesting throwbacks of how he looked when he was 20. How he looked when he was 25. It is because of the glory of today that people want to look at what was there before. Are you with me? If the now was not beautiful, they will not be looking back. When you do before and after, it is when after is very beautiful that you want to look at, wow. So this was how it was before. But when before and after does not have any difference, don't even look at what was there before. Then look at verse 14. It says, I press. See after me, I press. That means we must press. If we have been pressing before, we must press harder. Because let me tell you, the human nature likes to relax after a great victory. But like I say, the enemy of greatness is not failure. The enemy of greatness is average. When you've made little progress and you over-celebrate it, average means to be the best of the worst and the worst of the best. Praise the Lord. I believe we've gotten this picture, right? That's why we have rested Monday. In fact, after service on Sunday, there was a Holy Ghost move. After party. Holy Ghost after party. So I'm sure we rested at least from 6 p.m.
6 p.m. on Sunday, we rested. Monday, we rested. Tuesday, we rested. Wednesday, stand up. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So quickly, why is New Breed called New Breed?
Let me start from there. There are two reasons we are called New Breed Christian Community. In fact, the emphasis is the word New Breed. Number one, I've called it the doctrinal premise. The doctrinal premise. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new breed. Glory! Glory! By now, you should know that's part of our culture. Shouting glory. Shout glory! Amen. If anyone be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. You see that word, being born again, being a new breed. Amen. Not of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That means we emphasize the reality and the experience of the new life in Christ. We emphasize the reality and the experience of the new life that Christ offers. You know, even the book of James alludes to this. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 from verse 18. He says, of his own will begat he us that we should be, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his own, of his creatures. It seems like you can rewrite it like this. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a new breed of his creatures. Are you with me? So God has had creatures before Christ came. He had created man before Christ came. He had created all the animals before Christ came. But Christ offered, brought in and ushered a new type of creation called the new creation in Christ. So he told Nicodemus, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I know you have been born biologically, but you must be born spiritually. You must become a new breed. Are you with me? Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Say amen. So that I am God's new breed. Glory. Now, that's the doctrinal premise. But there is a prophetic premise. The prophetic premise is that God has a plan. God has a plan to save mankind with the gospel and to train them to save other men with the gospel. And this plan did not begin with us. From generation to generation, God has been raising men. From generation to generation, after Christ commissioned the first apostles and prophets and teachers, God has been raising men. For more than 2,000 years, God has been raising men. And in our contemporary history, God has been raising men before us. And we are an offshoot of the men that God has been raising. Are you with me? So when we say we are new breed, we are the result of what God began before us. There was an old breed. If not for men like David Livingstone that came to preach in Africa, where would the gospel be? If not for women like Mary Celeste, where would the gospel be? If not for all the missionaries that came down to preach the gospel in Africa, where will Africa be in the grand scheme of things? And even down to my own biological lineage, I had a father who was a missionary, a man of God, Reverend E. O. Generobo. He started ministry work in 1989. That's more than 30 years. That's like 35 years ago. Amen. And did ministry work for about 7 years, and somewhere in the Southwest, he was assassinated. And you see, it had pleased the Lord that what God began in him, he will continue in me on a greater measure. That's why it's called New Breed, an offshoot. In fact,
The name of that ministry was called Bridge the Gap Ministry. Actually, that ministry owns this hall, this Port Harcourt Church Hall. That's why you see on the address, it's called Bridge the Gap Hall. So we are coming out of from that branch. You know, when the angel was talking about Joshua, he says, is this not a branch plucked out of fire? In Zechariah chapter 3, when the devil wanted to accuse Joshua before the Lord, and God began to speak, and the angels began to speak, and said, is this not a branch plucked out of fire? So I'm trying to tell you that, you see this ministry that God has come there to us, we did not just burst out from nowhere. I did not just wake up one morning and say, Kai, there is sapa everywhere. Well, what are we going to do to raise money to just manage spirit and soul and make sure they are not split in two? No, there is a long line in the spirits. Are you following me? There's a spiritual heritage. You know, on the Saturday of the conference, one of the ministers that pulled Reverend T.B. Peters to come and minister, when he came into the compound and saw on the gate the place they wrote, there was a sticker there that they wrote Bridge the Gap. He said, are you connected to Reverend Ogunerobo that was doing ministry in this town in the 90s? Are you connected to that man? I said, yes, I'm his son. He said, Kai! That's what he said. He said, Jesus. Then he began to talk. I said, we bless God. He said, I knew about your late dad. He started saying different things. So are you connected? So there is a heritage in the spirit that you are part of. You are part of something that God has been building meticulously. It just dawned on me that if my dad was alive and followed, maybe things played out according to God's plan, maybe my dad would have had a people that would be calling fathers of faith in the country. I'm telling you. I was in a minister's conference where Pastor Pujo Emade said, one of the first leading ministers in this country that started preaching faith on a large scale that broke through was Reverend Dr. Tunde Joda. And I have a plaque in my house where Dr. Tunde Joda awarded my father for coming to minister at their camp meeting in 1996. So, are you with me? So, it's called New Breed because God has something he's trying to do. And all that God is doing, we will fulfill it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. So there is a prophetic premise. So, what God has been carrying from different generations, once again, the burden of the gospel has been given to us. We have been entrusted with this assignment to carry the message of Jesus Christ. And we will not fail the Lord. So what is our vision? We envision a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. Can we say after me? We envision a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. Say it again. We envision a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. Because this is mandate service, I have to explain what this means. It means that we have the task of raising God a people who are completely sold out to Jesus. That when you extract their lives, Jesus is the most important thing on their mind. When you extract their lives, Christ is the most important heartbeat on their spirit. Are you with me? That they have such a love and passion and desire for Christ that cannot be compared to anything else. Are you following this? That they are in love with God and consecrated to God like nothing else. Let me tell you, if this is fixed, 50% of all the doctrinal arguments going on currently will be fixed. Oh, I'm serious. There are many things that if you extract them from this light, it is just nothing but a distraction. Okay, tight. Don't tight. What's the issue? What is tight? Is it not giving? Okay, we don't want to give 10%. We just give to God. Just give to the Lord. If you love the Lord, give to the Lord. Is it not that simple? Is it not that simple? If you really love the Lord, must they tell you about the vara for you to give? In fact, we are not even giving because we need to use our tithe to rebuke the devourer. Christ has already destroyed the devourer for us. Are you with me? So we give to the Lord because we love. There is a passion for him. We love him. To raise a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ. If you love the Lord, there are many arguments. I'm not a Christian body. What are you doing with body if you're a Christian? If you love the Lord, what are you doing with body? Let me read something to you. 2 Corinthians 8. Sorry. I have something in 1 Corinthians 8 still relating to this, but what I want to emphasize is actually in 1 Corinthians 8. 1 Corinthians 8, please. 1 Corinthians 8, from verse 2 to 3. The Bible says, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." Then it says in verse 3. Everybody read verse 3. Oh my God. Look at this. What does it read? But everybody read again. 1, 2, 3, go. "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." Because let me tell you, loving God is not a natural thing. The natural man is rebellious against the will and plan of God. That is why they were eating fruits in the garden. Nobody complained. It is when God said, "This one that I say should not eat, that's the one they wanted to eat." That's the one Satan brought to tempt them. People are arguing about 10%. Whether you want to give 10%, if you love God, give to God. What you think that you can give to God that is worth giving to God, give to God. If you truly obey that rule, 10% will not be your issue. What is 10%? Let me tell you, when you really have needs, you're not thinking about 10%. Okay, wait. You want to go and make your hair as a lady. Beautiful lady like you. You want to make your hair. You now be asking, okay, how much is the weave on? They say it's 8,000. And your salary may be 50K. 10% is what? It's not 5K. But will you be asking them, "This one, my 10%. You say, okay, I have money, I'll buy it. People spend, when it comes to human beings, people spend, what? Do you know how much iPhone? iPhone 14 is in this country. People are buying it. Every day, people are buying it. But when it comes to the issue of God, argument will start. Because human nature is designed to rebel against God. I have been on counseling tables. I'm sorry to say this. This may disturb your modern sensibilities, but I'm going to say it. I have been on marriage counseling tables. I have seen people who, when they were cutting, they were struggling to stop premarital sex. They were doing it. When they now get married, to now do it is a problem. I'm telling you. I had to call a couple. I told the man, "When last did you sleep with your wife?" "I'm busy." This is the woman that, when you were not married to her, I had to be following him every week. "I hope you are not going to office." Now you are in the same house with, because that is where God wants it to be done. Human beings will rebel. Are you with me? That's how you see a married man. The wife he was chasing everywhere, "I will not let you rest until I marry you." He marries her, and now, after he has married her, he wants to start cheating on her somewhere else. Because human beings are designed. When God says it's marriage, the design of human beings is to go away out of God's plan. So when you can raise a person that loves God and is so in love with God's way, God's pattern, God's style, you have given God and you have raised something for God. Are you with me? If any man loves God, the same is known of him. If you love God, there are some things you will not say about his church publicly. Even if the church has many issues, because God is perfecting his church, there are many things you will not come online and say about the church. Because you don't want people to speak evil against his church. Are you with me? When Saul, the backsliding king, was killed, actually he killed himself. You know what David said? David said, "Shh, don't go and publish it on the streets of Ascalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines begin to sing against him, that how are the mighty falling, as though he was not anointed with oil." Saul sinned against God. Oh. Then you see a Christian, you wake up in the morning, carry your phone, and all you are doing morning to night, you are tearing down men of God, tearing down churches, tearing down the name of God. People, because of you, you know, the Bible says there's a term that is used in the Bible, that because of you, the heathen has spoken evil against the Lord. I love God too much. Are there faults? Are there many things wrong in the church? Oh, there are plenty faults everywhere, plenty issues everywhere. But now to make the heathen speak against the Lord, no. I love God too much for that. Are you following me? To raise a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ represents the whole counsel of God. So, I thought about the glory of Christ. What about the other part of it? Representing the whole counsel of God. Meaning, everything that God had in his mind when he was sending Christ to raise a new order of men. Are you with me? We want to raise people that will be like that. Sometimes we can shred Christianity into different sects. These are deliverance pastors. These are prosperity pastors. These are healing pastors. These are marriage pastors. Well, everything you are shredding it into, these are holiness pastors. These are career and excellence pastors. All the different shreds, God wants his believer to have all of them. The excellence of God, the character of God, the glory of God, the anointing. Are you with me? The whole counsel of Christ. The whole counsel of God. Say after me, the whole counsel. Say after me, the whole counsel. I'm taking my time so that you understand why we are doing what we are doing. It is, see, vision will influence everything. To raise a generation with a passion for the glory of Christ. But they will not just have a passion that is just scattered everywhere. But when you look at their lives, everything Christ died, was buried, and resurrected for would be made manifest in their lives. Are you following me? Praise God. Praise God. See, after me, we envision a generation with the passion for the glory of Christ. Glory representing the whole counsel of God. Also, when you say the glory of Christ, we are talking about the fact that Christ is sacrosanct in the heart of a man. We are saying that when we open your heart, we should see that the thing that is making your heart to beat is Christ. You know, Paul will say, for me to live is Christ. The beating passion of my heart is that Christ is exalted. Is that Christ is glorified. Let me tell you, this is the beginning and end of all doctrine. This is one of the ways you test doctrine. When you scan this doctrine, is Christ going to be glorified in this doctrine? This is even what affects the presentation of doctrine. Is Christ going to be glorified? To raise a generation with the passion for the glory of Christ. If you're not living for Christ, what are you living for? No, what are you living for? What is this life about? What is this life about? One day, everybody will close their eyes, never to open it again. Whether it happens that way or it happens by rapture, one day, everything on this earth, you will leave it behind. What will count is, are you born again? What did you do for the Lord? That's all. How much did your life count for the glory of Christ? Your marriage, how much did it give Christ glory? You know, those Moravian brothers that were sold to an island, actually, they were not even slaves. They were free men in a particular city. And in those days of slave trade, they took some slaves that they were sent to a particular island to go and die. But those two brothers said, I will not allow all those slaves go to that island and die into a Christless eternity. I'm going to sell myself and join them. They sold themselves, made themselves slaves for the cause of Christ. Joined those slaves. And when they were on the ship and their parents and their relatives were looking at them, they were singing one song, may the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. May the lamb that was slain receive the reward of his suffering. May the lamb that was slain. That's the glory of Christ. Has it entered you very well? has the passion for Christ and his work entered you? When it enters you properly, nobody will beg you to do anything. The glory of Christ. Tell me the glory of Christ. Representing the whole counsel of God. Amen. So that's what, let me tell you. You know why I love this vision that the Lord gave us? If you follow the vision, you cannot stray. The vision alone, will condition you. No, it will condition you to be a certain kind of man. You know, on Thursday, when I finished teaching, and I said, what is the faster way to enter the move of the Spirit? And I said, catch a vision for Christ. Somebody met me later and said, ha, Pastor. It was actually Pastor Eni. But then he said, Kai, thank you for leading us aright. He said, when he was growing up, he attended one conference, and they preached something related to what I preached. And they said, what is the faster way? They said, sow a dangerous seed. So, when he heard, what's the faster way? He was like, what does pastor want to do? How can I preach a sermon, and leave you without using Christ? I will find a way and trick it inside. No. I will find a way and leave you with the dead mark of Christ there. That you must not leave a service where Pastor David preached and your heart is not burning to become something relevant to Christ. It's not possible. Are you with me? Have you ever thought about it? What was on the mind of Christ when he was on the cross? What was on his mind? What was going through his mind? Do you think he just came to establish another religion? Maybe there is something more about salvation. Maybe there is something more about Jesus Christ that has not yet settled deep on the heart of men. You think it's a joke that God will call a man and call a people and they will spend all their life? Maybe there is something more. Serve me the glory of Christ. No, I caught it. 2016, when God showed me this vision, I caught it. That this is what the Lord wants. He says, truly as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. God swore, he says, as truly as I live. And guess what? The glory of God is seen in men. God has decided that his glory will be revealed in his men. You know, one time somebody was asking me that, why will you put a poster and put your face as a pastor? Why will pastors be putting their face, or maybe they put their face on their wife's face? I said, because God has decided to put his glory in men. His anger was that we should put Jesus' face, that we should go and download Jesus' face from the internet and put the face of Jesus. I said, no. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Are you with me? That the glory of God will be not of us, but of him. In earthen vessels, God wants his glory to be seen in you. That if they want to know how holy God is, they look at you. Say, my God. Truly, God is in this one. If they want to know how excellent and how great God can be, they see his power at work in you. They see his wisdom at work in you. After me, the whole counsel of God. Amen. Are you getting the picture now? So, we envision. Can we say it again? 1, 2, 3, go. We envision a generation with the passion for the glory of Christ, representing the whole counsel of God. Glory! So, everything that Christ died for and paid for, it must be seen in my life. Hey, if he died and paid for healing, I must walk in divine healing. Are you with me? Everything that God had in his mind when he was making the new creature, it shall be seen in my life. Something it shall be seen in my life. Amen. So what is our vision? What is our mission now? So vision is where you are going to. The mission is what you will do to get there. The plan for this meeting, I was supposed to take this journey together from what is New Breed, our vision, our mission. Then we're now going to the different parts of the ministry. Then we're now going to the current new structures. I wanted to break everything down. So you see where we are going to, what we are doing to get there, and the things we do daily to sum up to the mission. Are you with me? The things that we have to do to make sure that we are in step with the overall overarching vision. So you know that, let me tell you, when you are refusing to share the message, you are refusing to let the glory of Christ spread. When you are refusing to take our social media platforms serious, when you are not taking devotion serious, when you are not allowing the discipleship structure in the church to influence you, you are not allowing this vision that God has given to us to find expression through you. Are you following me? So when a person is slacking as a worker, as a leader, as a member, he's falling short of the overarching vision. He may not see it that way, but that's what it is. Are you with me? When a person is allowing himself to get distracted, you go online, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, where all they are talking, all the nonsense they are saying against the church, you join them. You are destroying the glory of Christ. Do you know the influence of the current argument and the current back and forth on social media against the church? Do you know the consequence of that? Imagine the consequence of that in a new believer. Somebody deciding, I want to follow the Lord. Then we now have people who have made it look like every pastor is a thief. They make it look like every church is a scam. They now start saying countries that are not progressing, they are not religious. You join all those nonsense. A time can come, you can start casting aspersions on the belief system of a new believer. So I've heard people say, which pastor is correct, sir? Have you not heard something like that before? So which one is even correct? If all of them are wrong, which one is correct? See, if we allow the devil, a time will come, this generation will be pastorless. Do you know what it means? When you make it look like, people don't know what Satan is trying to do. In Rwanda, 6,000 churches were closed down by the government with the claim that they are becoming a distraction to society. And many other things, some financial, some ethical, some... If we don't find a way to regulate the nonsense going on about the church, the government will regulate it. I think that time when Cardinal State Governor was saying that churches should start submitting their teachings to the government house, that the government will now vet the teachings of the church. You think it was a joke? It was going to happen. It was going to happen. But you see, he says, I will build my church. One prayer you must pray for yourself is, I will not be a tool in the hand of Satan. Tell me, I will not be a tool in the hand of Satan. You know, another prayer I always pray for myself is that I will not be there and God will be looking for somebody. Hey. You know, somebody said, if I don't give to the church, the church will be stranded. I said the church will not be stranded, but they will feel it. Maybe you are a member of the church and the church is looking for like $3,000 or just looking for some money to get something done. And you have the money and you say, okay, I will not. God will have to bypass you because you don't want to be part of the work, Abby. Maybe he will have to touch somebody else. But my spirit. Prayed 1 hour, I didn't get to release in my spirit. Prayed 1 hour, 30 minutes, I didn't get to release in my spirit. So I took a break. I went to talk to some people in the house. 9 o'clock, I called my wife. I said, we need to pray. Prayed 1 hour, I didn't get to release. It was around 10:30. I was just praying under my breath, praying. Around 10:30, I got to release. I knew that this woman is free. He messaged me this morning. She has regained consciousness. Are you with me? Glory. This afternoon, just before coming to service, they messaged me again. That now, her consciousness is there, but she's acting as though a different spirit came into her. And she's talking to everybody wrongly. The other time, she was not herself, as if she was passing out. Now, she looked at somebody and said, leave me alone. As though there's a different personality. I just said, that one is a demon spirit. It's not. Are you with me? After this place, I'm going to, thank God. After this place, we're going to pray again. I'll get on phone and cast out that spirit. See, if you don't have a passion for the Lord, you will not have a passion for men. A time can come, say, people will be calling, say, you are disturbing me. I saw something online recently that got me.
secular musician that is into his music promotes sexual immorality, pornography, and all those kind of things, gave a seat to a church, and it was publicly announced. So there were many debates. Some people said, why did the church receive the money? Somebody said, church reject somebody that is obviously in the world, but now he's trying to come back to God and brought his seed. Then another person said, if the church rejects his money, then they should go and scan all their members. There are many of their members that are not pure, and they are doing wrong things, and they are bringing the seed. So some people were like, the church should still take the money. Well, whether the church take the money or did not take the money, my emphasis is, it's not something that should be public. First of all, why must we give a stage because somebody gave money? Why must a stage be given to someone? Yes, we can appreciate you. Thank you for giving to the work of the Lord. But if the criteria for the giving must be that somebody who promotes the work of the devil can climb the stage, we are selling a new model for young people. That it doesn't matter what you do. As long as you can bring money, the church will welcome you. Are you following me? In that case, I have the right to say, go with your money. I have the right to say, go with your money. I don't want it. I don't want it. Especially when we know. It's not like we don't know. Are you with me? We know who you are. We know who you are. But you see, it can be dicey, because sometimes, what if the person really just wants to honor the Lord? It can be dicey. So, there's a way you will reject. Are you following me? There's a way you reject the person, saying even the church has thrown us away. The church does not want to receive us. But, are you following me? Sometimes it's difficult. But as much as possible, glorify the things that only God glorifies. Glorify the things that only God glorifies. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our mission. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We are on a mission. We are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the relationship between the mission and the vision? The only way people will catch a vision to be passionate about Christ, the only way they are going to know that there is even something called the whole counsel of God, is when they are properly trained. Are you with me? So we are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we coined this from two verses of the Bible. We'll just read that and we'll close. Colossians 1 verse 21. The Bible's 21 verse 28. The Bible says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he hath reconciled. Glory to God. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Let's jump to verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Glory! Now, everybody read verse 28. That's where I'm going to. So, he's saying, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says,
whom we preach. That means we preach Christ in you. Are you with me? Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing this? He says, Christ in you is what we preach. And in preaching Christ, we warn every man and we teach every man in all wisdom. The consequence of that is that it will make them perfect in Christ. That's why we say we are on a mission to present all men perfect in Christ by maturing the saints unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We coined that other last phrase from Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11 to 13. Ephesians 4 from verse 11 to 13. It says, and he gave some pastors, and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Everybody read verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jump on your feet. Glory.